My life is a living advertisement. Or if you're overseas, advertisement, whichever pronunciation you like. My words, my reactions, my social media pages, my jokes, where I choose to go, the things I choose to do, are all a part of me as a living advertisement. But who approves of what my life advertises? Me? Others? God? As I was reading 2 Timothy, and we're sitting with this book for the next several weeks and really trying to dig into it, I asked myself that question. Actually, the question I asked was, how important is it for me to be liked by others? And I think everybody wants to be liked. I think there are few people that just are cantankerous for the sake of being cantankerous. I think most people want to be able to be in relationship with other people. But you can take that really far. And we have a phrase for that. We call that a yes man. You know, whatever you say, that person's just going to say, yep, you're right. They're never going to challenge anything. You may have a coworker like that that does that for the boss. You know, maybe no matter what, that person's going to say, yep, you're right, even if the boss is flat out wrong. Paul jumps down the throat of churches in the region of Galatia when he opens his letter to those churches. He calls them out and says that he is absolutely astonished that they have turned aside from the gospel to a different gospel, a perverted gospel, a twisted gospel. In fact, he would go on to say that those such people should be accursed. Pretty strong words. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And then he says in verse 10, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul's ministry was traveling throughout the Mediterranean world, the North Mediterranean world, going from city to city, place to place, establishing a church which belongs to Jesus Christ in communities that hadn't heard of Jesus. He would often start within the Jewish communities that connected to Jehovah God and help them to understand the Messiah as Jesus. But he would turn to the Gentile people and help them to see who God was and who Jesus is. His ministry was going around getting these churches started. So when he writes a letter to a whole group of churches, like we have here in Galatia, and he says to them, I just can't believe what you're doing. He asked the question, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Paul was more concerned about being right with God than he was about being liked by the churches he helped to start. And that's tough. That's a tough place to get to. Because these are the people that really, to use Paul's phrase, owe him their lives. He has given and given and given to them. And now he comes back to say, so what's the point? Was I doing all this just to get everybody to like me? And his answer is no. So it begs the question that you see on the screen. Whose approval does my life show that I seek? Whose approval? So everybody is living their, every one of us are living our life, okay? People make judgment calls about your life all the time. Okay? You make judgment calls about your life all the time. But whose approval do you want? And is your life a testimony that if you say, I am seeking God's approval, great. But is your life then a testimony that that is what you are trying to do? Because if not, then there's a hypocrisy that's going on in all of this. I'm going to live my life one way, but I want everybody to say I'm a good Christian. But I'm a good Christian when it's convenient, when it's popular, when I'm with the right crowd. Paul says, no. Whose approval does your life show that you seek? If you have a Bible with you and you want to turn to 2 Timothy, I'd like you to open up there. And we're going to take a look at a set of verses in 2 Timothy, and we're going to walk through it just a little slower and look at some of the aspects of this. I want to begin with just the first two verses of 2 Timothy. It says, Paul says to Timothy, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul wants Timothy to take the truth that he has told them that we talked about last Sunday. Hold on to truth. He wants Timothy to take that truth that he so deeply holds on to, even though it may cause suffering and pain. He wants Timothy to take that truth and to share it with others who will share it with others. That is the definition of discipleship or disciple making, okay? Is taking God's truth, sharing it with someone who will take that truth and share it with somebody else. So Paul says to Timothy, that's your job. You've got to get that ball rolling. Take that message out to the people who will continue to take that message out to others. Now, I want you to keep going, but I want you to jump down to verse 8, because we're going to kind of put all this in its context before we come to our theme passage. Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul says how important this message is. It is so important that it cannot be kept silent. Paul, as I said, is this wonderful preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The enemy, and you can pick what you want to for the enemy. You can say the enemy is the Roman government because Paul is sitting in a Roman prison. You can say the enemy is the Jewish leadership who see Paul as a threat to the teachings of Judaism. You can see the enemy as Satan, as evil, who hear the message of Jesus Christ being spread throughout the known world and doing everything they can to shut it down. Whoever you want that enemy to be, Paul's statement is, I am bound because of them. But don't you love what he says there in verse 9? But God's word is not. I may be in chains. They may try to shut me up, but you can't shut the gospel of Jesus Christ up. You can't. Because That process that began with trusting it to people who will entrust it to somebody else, that's going to continue on whether or not Paul is alive or dead. The church which belongs to Jesus Christ does not rest on Paul's shoulders. Okay? And Paul is telling Timothy, this gospel is trying to be hushed. But it cannot be. The word of God is not bound. And that brings us now to what I wanted us to take a look at as our theme verse for this chapter. Verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, handling rightly the word of truth. The goal of every Christian, not just preachers, is to live a life approved by God. That's our end desire. My desire when my life comes to an end is to hear a voice that says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your father's household or master's household. That's what I want. Enter into your reward. That's the approval that I say I desire. Paul's going to challenge Timothy to say, you need to do your best to present yourself as God's approved person. The context in which this is done is verses 14 through 17. So I just want to read this and then we'll talk about it for a second. Go back to verse 14. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearer. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Here's what Paul says, is there's two things that hurt a Christian's approval by God. One is they don't speak correctly. And two, they don't handle the word of God correctly. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I would guess if you were honest, every hand would go up. How many of you have gotten in trouble with your words at some point in your life? I would assume every hand would go up. Okay? Our tongue can do great beneficial things. But I'll be honest, our tongue, here is James 3, just listen to this. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of your body that is set on fire by hell itself. That's pretty harsh. Just throwing that one out there. Okay? That tongue or those words, that's really what is being said here, can be set on fire by hell itself. That's James. Paul says to Timothy, remind them, charge them to make sure that the things that they are saying are truth. Because there is so much discord going on and it is spreading like gangrene in the body. And these quarreling of words only ruin the hearers. We live in a fairly divided and divisive nation right now. The political rhetoric, and for really years, has been almost over the top for most people. And what it does is it causes people to go to an extreme to try to defend wherever they are. And in those movements, what we have seen happening within our country is the ruining of hearers and gangrene. It's what we've seen. We get that because we live in this democracy. Paul says, now transfer that into the body of Christ. When Christians decide we're going to debate this to such a point and in such a way that it is harmful to the hearer, Paul says that's gangrene, spiritual gangrene. He used that phrase because he wanted to talk about how terrible it was, how destructive it was, how gross it was. And he says to Timothy, if you want to be approved by God, then you've got to get your words right. Your words mean something. When you speak, when you tease, and I'm one that I have to really watch my negative teasing. When you tease, when you do certain things, the hearer of that is reflecting upon your heart. Okay? Now, that might be an overgeneralization, but it's really what's going on deep inside. They're hearing you, and then they're making judgments of you. So it's going back and forth. Paul says to Timothy, you want to be approved by God, then teach people to make sure that the words are the right words. And the biggest word to handle correctly is the word of God. It is to take the message of God, the truth of God, and to present it in such a way as to... Paul was a tent maker. And as a tent maker, he would have to cut cloth. There was things that he would be making, and he would have to cut them in this straight line, an absolutely straight line. That is the word Paul uses here for handling accurately or dividing, if you will, the truth of God, depending upon your translation. The idea is you're cutting a straight path. Okay? That your understanding of God's word is straight down the line of what he says. It's difficult to do that when you deal with emotion, when you deal with the way you were raised, when you deal with who your parents are, when you deal with who your children are, when you deal with life in general. It's hard to stay on that straight path. It's just difficult to do. But if my desire is to live a life approved by God, that is what I'm going to have to do. So Paul says to Timothy, do your best. King James chose to use a word that has been maybe harmful to the church for many years. It would say, study to show thyself approved unto God. It's not study the way we think of study. Okay, that's the wrong idea behind that word, which is why other translations change that phrase from study into something like, in my particular translation, it says, do your best. It's actually a phrase that centers around time, as in be diligent, quickly work hard, make this an absolute importance right now. Okay? So time is of the essence. It's an urgency. Do your best. Make it so important to you, so valuable to you, that that's where you're putting your concentration. I want to be approved by God as his workman, as someone that God says, Jeffrey, this is what you need to be doing. And I'm saying, yes, Lord, not why, Lord. And that's the shift that takes. When I start saying, yes, Lord, not why, Lord. When this life is over, there is only one opinion that counts. It's not yours. Sorry, it's not mine. Sorry again. It is God's. That's the only opinion that counts. So if I'm leading my life to be approved by you, I've got the wrong person helping to make a decision about my life. So it is important that I make sure and I understand that I am leading a life to where I am not ashamed by my words, that I am not ashamed by my lack of biblical knowledge, because all of that can change. I don't have to live in that type of shame. I don't have to live as a Christian who refuses to change, to learn, to grow. I can live my life seeking to be approved by God. I want to have an illustration for a moment. So here's what I want to do. Would you do me a favor, Rick? Okay. Would you just take this? Oh, I know that's going to be hard because you have. Okay. Now, I just want you to walk back. Okay. So let it unravel, however that works for you. It needs to unroll, however it works for you. There you go. It's brand new, so it's going to be a big pain. Okay. You may have seen this particular illustration before. It's decades old. It's nothing new. Okay. You can just keep on going out the door. I don't really care. Just keep on walking. Because that's good right there. What this represents, all this I want you to understand, what this line represents, if you will, for a moment. Just say that this is eternity, okay? Just let this string be eternity. And this little section right here, this is your life, okay? Now, it's hard to even let this be eternity because the bottom line is, eternity means Rick just keeps going and going and going. Right? How much thought of how you live your life is based upon this? And how much thought of how you live your life is based upon this? So, and as you come to the end of this, how much thought is put into, do I have enough finances to retire? What's going to happen to my children? In fact, even of all of this, where do you put your emphasis? Paul says, I want to live my life approved by God. Because I want to be his workman. I want to live eternally. I want to live according to the line, not according to the dot or this particular lack of a dot, but it's what I had this morning in the house. Okay? Approval means I'm looking for someone to make a judgment call. If this is my life, I know the people that I try to appease and appeal because I want them to like me. I do. But I think I've often gotten it wrong. I think this is the only line that makes a difference. But it's hard for me to keep focused here when this is where I live. But that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. I'm going to let you begin to wind that up, if you will, so people don't trip over it. So Paul says to Timothy, do your best. Do your absolute, make it your urgency to present yourself as one who God approves of, who God has made his workmanship. Paul says to Timothy, that's where you need to be. You need to live your life thinking only about God. Because all the rest of that, it will fall in place. And here's the thing. Even if it doesn't, You're going to live for eternity. Wouldn't you rather be approved by God and live for eternity, even if this life is shortened because of it, than live for the approval of man and get a few extra years out of your life here and wind up facing eternity separated from God? That's the choice you're going to have to make. How do you live your life? Whose approval do you seek? 2 Timothy is Paul's last words to Timothy that we have recorded. And so they are, even by definition, pretty strong and tough, because he's trying to say one last time, this is what you've got to keep in front of you. What are you keeping in front of you? If we can help you keep God in front of you and his approval, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing?